Previously on Imagine Dungeons.
We call them the Oil Sworn. You'll see that they'll go after families who have like a war forged.
There are a lot of people who are frozen to walls outside, and we need to get out there right now.
Three or four of the corpses have some sort of like mechanical component to them. Their blood is this like mixture of oil and blood. These are clearly Oil Sworn.
How do you all feel about going back to school?
Oh my God.
Need.
You guys are walking through a tunnel that leads outside of the city. You see four bodies kind of drop from the roof of the tunnel. They all seem to have some sort of mechanical attachment to them.
Fiddles is going to draw Vial, the Sword of Transmutation, and she's going to look at Glint, and she's going to say, appreciate you helping me with this one. Off screen, last night, I was going to reveal it later, but I like it here better, actually. Fiddles had Glint just hook her up with something that's basically only cool, but she reaches her thumb up while she's holding the sword, and she flicks what is essentially the flint wheel of a Zippo lighter, and the sword ignites into flame with the flick of a flint wheel, and she levels it at the one in the back with the wand, and she just says,
we haven't started yet, and it's not too late to stop this.
The response you get is very quiet, like it's a whisper, but it is so loud in this tunnel. You can tell it's magically influenced as you just hear, on guard. All right, everybody ready?
Ready.
All right, yeah. Fiddles.
Does it seem
riding on this?
Does it seem obvious, or is there a way I can assess whether or not it seems like Davey is their ultimate target here?
It's a good question.
You'd have enough information to know that there's actually two targets here.
Sure,
that they're
yeah.
fascinated in.
Yeah. One of them is a little more...
Davey and Sue, I'm sure.
When you say there's two targets, do you mean Davey and Tin Buoy?
Tin Buoy?
Yes, but...
There are three targets.
Listen, they love robots, but they also need somebody to do their dark surgeries for them.
But there is a third target here that I think after a second it might snap into your head.
Oh.
Walton?
Oh, Papa Walton?
No, they're going for Glint. Glint is a target.
It's me.
Here.
They want Warforged and Inventors.
Yeah.
Oh, Inventors.
These are the Oil Sworn
and
Inventors.
Gotcha.
Inventors, yeah. Oh, yeah, the frozen people, the frozen feathers want Sue.
Okay.
All right.
Because you're young and hot.
If I'm young and hot as hell.
Ridley is stupid and ugly.
My brain is strong and big.
So, okay. Here's
a succulent inventor's brain.
I see you know your judo well, sir. Let's do this. We're starting. Fiddles is, with sword drawn, going to spin and point her open palm at Davey. And her palm is going to glow a deep purple with like almost like a purplish wave flame. And she is going to blast the floor around Davy's feet. And she is casting Sanctuary on Davey. Sanctuary is a spell.
So good.
It is a bonus action. And Sanctuary wards a creature against attack until the spell ends. It lasts for a minute, and it is not a concentration spell. Any creature who targets Davy is going to have to make a wisdom saving throw and succeed. If they fail, they have to choose a new target or lose their turn. And it doesn't affect him from like area attacks, effects or anything like that. The reason I'm using it on Davy and not Glint is because as soon as the person in Sanctuary uses an attack on someone else, it goes away. And I figured Davy is a much... We need Glint out there hurling things and hurting people. So I'll protect Davy right now. So what happens is the ground will sort of glow and there will be rocks and pebbles that raise up from the ground, almost like a reverse drop in a puddle. Like the ground will sort of like warble and these rocks are going to come up and just sort of start spinning in orbit around Davy,
so
ready to
cool,
protect
dope.
Him from any sort of attack or
that's
incoming
pretty
damage.
Dope.
That's
and
very
then,
great.
Fiddles is going to take then two steps forward and point that same still glowing hand straight at the wizard in the back and turn to everybody and say,
"We're not making this mistake again. The wizard dies first."
And she's launching Eldritch Blast straight into this wizard's face.
Good.
Yeah. Roll the hit.
That's going to be a 16.
16 hits. You can roll for damage. Man, it's so nice having a bonus action sanctuary.
So that's going to be 5 plus my 3 with Genie's Wrath, which just carries the rock... the rock shards with the Eldritch Blast. Do you want me to roll twice or just use 2 of those?
Because it's your 5th level?
Yeah, 2 beams.
Yeah, you should... go ahead and roll again. Typically, it does it for you.
So that's an 8 and a 7 for a total of 15 damage at that wizard.
Okay.
2 beams shaped like my hand, so it's just an open palm smack straight to the face.
Good turn. Okay. Fiddles, are you going to move or anything?
Just where I moved to. I took 2 big steps forward to kind of place myself between the party and everyone else a little bit.
Okay. Then the wizard goes next. And after taking 2 beams in the shoulders and kind of hearing your call out there, I think the wizard is going to swirl her wand, and then she turns invisible.
Okay.
Okay.
And that is her turn.
Sure.
The torches are lit, right, Gage?
Yes.
Okay.
The two... bulky guards up front are going to move forward. One is going to just approach Fiddles, sword drawn, and the other, I think, is going to stride forward to get in between Ridley and Sue. One attacks with his sword at Fiddlesticks and attacks twice and gets a 19 and a 21.
Those are both going to hit.
Okay. That'll do 21 damage.
Total?
And
total between both attacks?
Total between both attacks.
Okay, so can I ask a clarifying question?
Mm-hmm.
With Uncanny Dodge... I used the reaction to half the attack's damage against you. Do I only get to half one of those?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to need the individual
attack
damage. Of just give me the first one, and I'll use it for whatever the first one is.
Yeah, the first one was 11.
Okay,
the
so
second
what is
one
that?
Was 10.
We round so it down to 5 or round it up to 6?
We've been rounding up, so that'll go up to 6.
Okay.
So 16 total damage.
Yep. That hurts.
The other one is going to attack Ridley. And that will be that'll be a 12 and a 15, which I think we'll both miss. And
That's both of them. So, Glint, we are back up to you.
Okay. What do we know about this individual back here that I'm pinging?
She has mechanical eyes and is drawing a bow.
Okay. I think Glint is then going to... Glint is stretching his right hand out in front of him, and his dragon mark begins to glow. And then because of my Stormcaller spectacles, once per day I can cast Windwall. And so I would like to cast Windwall. I'm going to draw it here, and it's going to look terrible, but we're going to be okay with it. I would like to cast Windwall, like, here-ish, cutting off the... It's at a diagonal across the tunnel, cutting off this individual with the bow back there, and I would presume... I hope it's going to catch our invisible person behind this wall as well.
Okay.
That way they have to make a check if they pass this wall, and we're protected from projectiles they might try to shoot at us through
yes,
the wall.
Yes, yeah. Very good.
Good use
very
of good. That. Really good so, use of that.
Wow. You play support, don't you?
So Glint's going to stretch his hand out in front of him, and then using that word of power that he intuited on the boat high in the sky in our season finale, he's going to say, Njorthur. And then cast Windwall at that diagonal along the tunnel.
Very good use of that.
I can make the wall up to 50 feet long, 15 feet high, and 1 foot thick. So it's not 50 feet long, but it is 15 feet high and a foot thick.
Yeah, okay. Anything else?
I believe that is... I think just... let's see. Can I reach anybody else? Because I could hit him. I could hit him with a shocking grasp. No, I'm just going to enter storm form. I'm just going to. I think doing that when Glint casts that wind wall, like a ripple effect of electricity courses through his body, and he starts to levitate like an inch or two off the ground. He's fully electrified in storm form.
Okay. All right. Well, then on the archer's turn, you can't hear her because of the howling of the wind, but she's. Clearly pretty upset about this. And she begins to climb the wall of the tunnel. She can't get very far, but she gets about 10 feet up the wall. And as you watch her, something seems to be going on with her hands that's allowing her to dig into the rock.
Okay.
Behind you... behind you are vampire with mechanical arms and legs is going to start to is going to start throwing some ninja stars.
That's very cool.
Cool.
And he's able to throw 5 of them.
Whoa.
So I think 3 will go towards Glint and 2 will go towards Donnie. Okay. Glint, we have a 10, a 17, and a 19.
2 of those hit.
Okay. That will do 10 damage. And then, Donnie, we have a 22 and a 9.
1 of those hit.
And so that will do...
You can guess it.
4.
It's the 9.
To you, Donnie. 4 damage to Donnie. And he's going to keep staying back here. He doesn't move forward. Our second wizard with the staff back here is going to take a step up and slam her staff. And her eyes begin to glow. And when they do, I need Sue to make a... we will say a... What does it say here? This is the charm person spell, and you need
Charisma
to make
a
wisdom save here.
Wisdom save. 10 plus 6, 16.
Okay, that passes. Whew. And that will be the enchanter's turn. Sue, it is your turn.
So I think after Sue's encounter last night, Sue spent some time... while doing push-ups.
Sure.
Also, yeah. Just kind of like freshening up on vampires and some of her like character sheet that I often forget about and we often don't talk about is that Sue is a cleric. And her cleric mm-hmm. powers come from her, not her mark of hospitality, but from her like cooking and her her training in chef things, chefdom?
Culinary arts,
thank you. That's the word I was looking for. I think so. Sue's meat cleaver will glow then, her spiritual weapon, and she will cast spiritual weapon as far as she can towards the casters at the back of the tunnel behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of feel like, or you see like a glow coming from the pocket of the bag that Sue has around their shoulders, and they start to channel divinity or channel their divine power that comes from their training. And Sue, for the first time, I believe, since being on this show, is going to cast Turn Undead or to channel divinity and turn undead.
Ooh, very good. Okay.
So yeah, that's awesome.
I believe that means every undead
that can see or hear me.
Within 30 feet, right?
Yes.
Must make a wisdom save. Okay, so 30 feet of you.
Oh, that's not quite as far as I was hoping.
30 feet's pretty far, because that's 15.
Yeah, it doesn't get the ones behind you, but it does get pretty much everybody else.
It goes through the wind wall, too?
Yeah.
Can they? They can see. They can see through the wind wall,
but they
can't hear.
It's see or hear, so I think that will work.
Yeah.
So then,
if Sue has to take a step towards a direction, I know there's someone right in front of me, but whatever logistically makes the most sense.
Okay, I'm going to start rolling then.
Actually, since they're behind the wind wall, if I back away, there's someone in front of me, right? Will I take...
You'll get an opportunity attack there.
I think Sue would do that. I think Sue would, knowing that the wind wall is protecting us above, I think Sue would take the opportunity attack
okay.
and step towards the ones from behind.
Okay. It's going to swing out with you with its sword and get a 17 to hit. Does that hit?
That does not hit.
Okay.
Armor class 18.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Dodge underneath.
Okay. So are you trying to make sure you get everybody on your side of the wind wall then?
Yes.
Okay, so then you need to be, yeah, there. Okay, great. So then I'll roll for everybody on this side of the wind wall. Next to, what's the save?
Wisdom save of 14.
Okay. So then next to Ridley, we have a 14, which passes. The one in front of Fiddles gets a 15 that passes. The monk guy behind you fails with a 3. And the wizard fails with a 13.
Okay, so those two have to use all of their movement to move away as far as they can. They cannot willingly move to a space within 30 feet of me. They can't take reactions either. For their action, they can only use dash to try to escape from an effect that prevents it from moving.
Yeah, that's really nice.
That's such a good use of that spell.
Oof.
The creature can take the dodge. Okay. Okay, so as long as it doesn't take any damage, it's stuck there. So it doesn't repeat that save. Good use of that.
And I think Sue would kind of like yell that out since it's the first time that they are using this kind of power. I think that they would emphasize like, I'm trying to think of what like words they would use.
I would say, I don't know if I need to even do a history check. Donnie's seen this before. I think he knows what's going on.
Yeah, I think you can hear Sue's commanding voice and is just, you know, telling them to get back, to stay back. And once you see them turn, I think Sue would say, like, let them go.
Yeah, very good. Sue, do you have any more movement on your turn you want to use?
No, but can you drop my spiritual weapon in there for next round, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
You marked the guys that failed that check, right?
Yeah,
they
got a little frowny face going on them. Where did you want your spiritual weapon?
I think I had said towards the one behind me. So you can just stick it somewhere between me and the people behind me.
Okay. Okay.
I don't want to retroactively change that for the people who failed versus passed.
Okay. Well, then I'll put it there. What does it look like? What does your channel divinity look like as they're failing this?
Ooh. That's a good question. So I think, you know, her power comes from her training. She has like a recipe book, like a journal where she kind of keeps track of all of those things. And so I think that there is just like a really warm glow, the same kind of glow that comes to all of her tools when Spiritual Guardians is cast or Spiritual Weapon. And it just kind of looks like a warding, like aura kind of pushing them back.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool. Ridley, you're up.
Awesome. There is disadvantage on ranged attacks when someone is within 5 feet of you, correct?
Correct.
Okay, great. So then Ridley he's got his glaive and his trident in hand. He's a two-weapon fighter. But I'm going to swing the glaive at the guy right next to me. Ooh, bad rolls today. An 11.
It parries the glaive. It does not hit.
Cool. Because I took the attack action, I can attack again, correct?
Correct. It also does not have a reaction.
Oh, nice. Okay. I'm gonna try the trident. Here we go.
Ooh.
Crit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Awesome. So holding it one-handed.
Tell me how it dies.
For 6 trident damage. And I'm going to Divine Smite.
Yeah, you gotta.
You gotta.
Yep.
For an additional 9 radiant damage.
That'll do.
Okay, so total of 28. As you swing your trident, you pierce into this vampire's chest. But you hear something from the other side of the wind wall, kind of on the left side of the tunnel. And all the blood leaking from this vampire like magically goes back into the wound, and then the wound seals.
Oh, no.
Interesting. And I'm assuming what I hear from the other side of the wind wall is our invisible wizard friend?
Yes.
Okay.
You have one more attack with your glaive.
Invizard.
Oh, wait, how does that work?
You have multi-attack.
I thought that.
And you have
I thought the trident
bonus
was,
action attack.
Okay. Great. We'll try this. How about another 13?
Now that one bounces cool. off her armor. Okay, Donnie.
So there is some retroactive storytelling we need to do here. I have to do a performance of creation, actually. I've even helped fuel this image of that he just carries Tin Bui around. I forget. Tin Bui does not exist until I make him exist. He's a performance of creation, and then he's animated. That tracks, yeah?
Correct.
So then what happens here with this turn is he'll do a performance of creation and do the song that he wrote for bringing Tin to life. And then the bonus action will be that he animates an object, being that he's animating Tin Bui. So basically it's just Tin Bui is Megatroning, like right before our eyes, to just be there by Donnie. And that's all of his turn.
Okay. I had a little bit of rules thing mixed up. Ridley, because you crit, I need you to roll an additional D8 and an additional 2D8.
Don't argue. Oh, just say yes, sir.
So I need 3D8 from
you.
Just
do it.
And then two of them need to be radiant?
Yes.
So here's the non-radiant.
Okay.
3, and then
Yeah. 4 radiant.
Okay. So the radiant damage seems to have created an open wound, even if the rest didn't seem to hit as you hoped it would. So
the second radiant
did damage, yeah. So it looks like, I think you'd be able to gather being close, that this was less of like a reverse damage and more of like a, it protects against a certain threshold of damage.
Oh, nice. But now we're starting to get a little bit of blood.
Now you're getting a little bit of blood, yeah. Okay, Fiddles, we're back up to you then.
Yeah. I'm looking at something.
How to fight cyborg vampire, easy, guaranteed.
Cheese.
For dummies.
Cheese, cyborg vampire fight, stairs.
So, quick question. I feel like, can I tell when it seemed like the sound came from across the wind wall and the vampire's wounds healed up? Can I tell if it seems like that vampire ended up, besides radiant damage, essentially taking zero damage? Like, can Fiddles tell, like, it seems like besides radiant damage, there's nothing we can do until this wizard is dealt with? Is there anything I can roll to, like, gain a little...
Yeah, make a perception check.
Okay. Not my forte. That's a 5. Fiddles doesn't know anything.
Yeah. Hard to tell. Hard to tell with it being in the middle of you, like, swashbuckling here.
Yeah.
And a wind wall that's making a lot of noise. It seems that some damage was taken, but you're unsure if that's because it was radiant or if it was passing that threshold.
Okay. Second question. The wind wall affects me the same way it would affect anybody else, right?
Correct.
Yeah. If you try to run across it, you have to make a check.
Fiddles, also, I had 2 rounds of radiant damage, and only the second one hurt.
Right.
Right, so it felt more thresholdy than...
Got it. Okay. In that case, Fiddles is going to take the Sword of Transmutation and face the vampire that is directly in front of her, the one that smacked her real good a minute ago, and she is going to thrust the sword directly at that vampire's chest.
Okay, roll the hit.
That is a 3 plus 6 plus an additional 1 because it's on fire. That's a 10 to hit.
That will not do it.
I'm going to take my inspiration and roll that again.
Let's go, baby. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
That is a 16 now to hit.
Yeah.
16 does hit.
Okay, ooh, great.
Yeah. Great use of inspiration.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really worked out for you there.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know. I think Arcana checks are really valuable.
Yeah, we learned nothing new about the Groka, but he did end up dying. So can you really say it was a waste?
I also, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I would have advantage on that anyway, because I have sneaky. Oh, I'm wrong, Gage. I didn't have an advantage there anyway. Okay,
You're saying you get sneak attack here, even though you don't have advantage.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant. I was just getting mixed up. It's been a minute since we played.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be 6 piercing damage, 3 extra damage from Genie's Wrath, 11 sneak attack damage, and I need to add a 1d6 real quick for fire damage. So that is a total of 25 damage to this vampire's chest.
Gracious.
Fiddles hits like a truck.
I'm so glad you're on our team.
A little bit of a glass cannon here with Fiddles.
As you stab into this vampire, the fire on your sword seems to do... Like, it seems to, like, absolutely catch on fire. The vampire's arm, the metal one, continues to be on fire.
That's very sick.
And that extends to its blade.
Wait, does that mean that it now has a flaming blade as well? Is that what you're telling me?
I was going to say, good or bad, who knows?
It also has a flaming blade now.
Great.
Other side, it is also actively on fire.
Sure.
So, give and take. You got a bonus action or move
yeah,
and take?
I think next up, just because Fiddles is... We're doing okay, but we're hurting. We're hurting after that last hit. So Fiddles is, I think, going to take off running in that roguish way she has and move. Let me measure that, make sure that's acceptable. Yeah, move about 20 feet and head back kind of towards the group with Glint, Donnie, Davey, and Tim Bowie over here in the huddle.
Are you bonus action disengage?
Don't need to because I used a melee attack on that person, so they can't.
Oh, that's right. You can.
They can't to me.
Okay.
Actually, I am going to bonus action dash and get a little bit past them. Just full transparency, I don't trust a wizard. I don't trust standing in a group with a wizard, so I'm going to move a little past them.
Okay. Then after your turn is our invisible wizard who needs to make a roll. It's a good roll for you guys.
Great.
You hear the wizard's voice. Oh, man. You hear the wizard's voice and the... let me make sure you don't need to make a check. Glint, I think you would be able to identify that this wizard is casting dispel magic.
Hmm.
And is Windwall a third level spell?
It is, yeah.
Okay. Then it will make a check here using its intelligence. And it will fail, so the Windwall stays up.
Yay. Ooh.
Great.
You heard the voice coming from the same area.
They just say, shit.
Yeah. I put that there for a reason. Don't move it.
Hello, dear friends. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Carter, and I think I might be the person on this podcast that appreciates it the most, because you might hear me laughing with my friends on this podcast, but most of the time I'm really lonely. And I think what could help is if you would just tell more people about it. Could you tell more people to download this podcast? Could you tell them to rate and review it and just say nice things specifically about me is great. Because remember, I might need it more than anyone else that you hear. But you can say it about anyone else too. If you really enjoy it, please keep listening. Thanks again.
It is our guard's turn, our vampire guards. So... one, I think, will pivot to keep moving a little bit closer to Donnie towards this back area of the tunnel. And we'll use one sword attack at Ridley and one at Donnie. That's a 17 at Donnie and 11 at Ridley.
Nope.
Donnie, that hits, yeah?
It does.
No, give me the 17. That's BS.
Would it hit you? I can do that. That's fine.
No.
Okay, well. No, that's fine. You can have the 17 at me because I'm gonna cast a reaction here. I'm gonna do silvery barbs.
Okay, so it has to roll again.
Yeah, and he's gonna say,
"Not so fast, Winter Soldier."
Great use of it. It fails with the 7.
Okay, nice. So what happens with silvery barbs is, with the success of that, I can choose a different creature that I can see within range. And then they'll have an advantage on their next attack roll. I kind of take what would have been the good attack roll and give it to somebody else. And so he's going to just like toss it nonchalant like you would, hoping you make some trash in a trash bin at the office behind his shoulder to Glint, and is going to give Glint an advantage on his next attack roll.
Okay. Good use. You're going to see this guard like scrunch up her face as she's pretty upset about this, and is going to extend her hand towards you, Donnie, and a fog sort of fills your vision. I need you to make a constitution save.
Interesting. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense.
12.
Okay, this is a failure.
Great.
I think everybody would smell something. Like, I mean, it's the smell of natural gas. And Donnie, you're blinded. So for a definition of this, obviously you cannot see. And attack rolls against you have advantage, and your attack rolls have disadvantage. You can make a save. Let me make sure. You can make a save at the end of each of your turns to try to fight against that.
Yeah. It counts as the, like, it's not even a bonus action, or it's a bonus action?
It's a free check to save it, to try to save against it.
Blind.
Our other guard next to the wind wall is going to sprint forwards. Okay. And is going to end up behind Davey.
If they're sprinting by Glint and Davey like that, do they take opportunity attacks?
They sprinted against the far side of the tunnel.
Okay. Just checking.
They are now in between Davey and Fiddles. Davey is still surrounded with his protective magic. It has been one
this is
turn.
The second round, yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't have any more movement. So I think that will be the end of its turn. I think it's going to be content where it ended. Glint, you are up.
How long does the protection around Davey last? How many turns?
9 more turns.
Oh. So what could this guy do to break through that at this point? Just grapple Davey.
He can be grabbed as long as it's not to do with an intent to do damage. Basically, anything that intends to do damage to Davey specifically cannot happen.
So he could steal him.
Let me.
AoE is still effective.
Yeah, AoE is effective.
An attempt to grab it would still have disadvantage.
Okay.
Or not disadvantage. It would still have to make a wisdom save to achieve that. Because a grab counts as an attack.
That's great.
Wait, I'm sorry. Donnie should get to add his charisma modifier to his saving throw because he's in my aura of protection.
That's right. Oh, good call. Okay.
I forgot about
that. Donnie's not blinded. How big is your aura?
That's a 16. That's a 17.
I'm going to add your aura on the map so we can see it.
I forgot about it. Yeah, it's 10 feet, so he's just there.
Cool.
Oh, that's really nice.
Is that just something you always have?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, that's so nice.
Paladins are really
that's
nice.
That's my boy.
There's just little turtles, like misty turtles swimming around him in a circle.
Dude, so yes. Cute. Yeah, 17 then is what I got.
Yeah. Okay. Glint, it's your turn.
Huge.
Remind me...
You do have an advantage on attack roll, but it is only this turn.
Okay. Remind me the metal enhancements of this gentleman that's right by Davey.
He has a metal sword arm.
That's also
it's on fire, right? Yeah, currently on fire.
This one here climbing the wall has metal fingers.
Yes, and metal eye sockets.
And metal eyes. This one here, what's metal about this one?
Arm also.
No, get to it.
Arm. There's an invisible one back here that has something else.
Yes, this one back here.
Okay.
Did have.
All right.
Yeah, something else.
I have multiple attacks per turn. I have 2. Could I attack with a sword and also cast a spell?
No.
Or is it 2 sword?
2 attacks or 2 sword, or only 1 spell?
Okay. In that case, Glint's going to step to this gentleman right here who's threatening Davey. He's going to draw Hail Fang. And before he does, he's going to like turn a little dial on the pommel of Hail Fang because this is going to be a branding smite when I hit this guy.
Okay.
And we're going to just... Let me see where it is. We're just going to swing it. Swing that sword.
Is this the one you're using advantage on?
I don't need to. I crit.
Okay.
I rolled a 20.
Yeah.
Plus 9.
Nice.
So no advantage on this one. And that means that Hail Fang will do... okay, hang on. This is going to be a little bit of math. 1d6. So 7 damage from Hail Fang plus an additional D4 for storm form.
You'll get 2d4 for storm form and an additional d6 for your sword.
And an additional d6. And then the thing about
double it, of what your branding smite is. So
roll 2 branding smites?
Yeah, or 2 of the dice that you use for it.
So it's supposed to be 2d6, so that's 4d6?
Yes, correct.
Wow.
Good lord. Who's quick with math?
28.
Yeah, nice. And your the fire damage from the branding smite is doubled.
Ooh.
So the branding smite damage was 9, so that should be an additional 9.
So you'll do 37 damage.
Oh,
wowzers,
my God.
Dude.
On this guy. Don't talk to me or my son ever again.
That guy is bloodied.
You know what? You know what's actually crazy?
Dude.
Is that I'm gonna do it again.
You're gonna.
No branding smite this time.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Branding smite does take your concentration.
Okay.
And so the wind wall is gonna drop.
Oh.
I do see that concentration now. If I didn't see that, does it have to do it?
I'll let you take that back because we haven't really run into a ton of concentration issues up to this point.
I'm going to tell you, that argument is not working with the IRS for me right now.
I didn't know! yeah, let's roll that. Let's roll that branding smite off if we're okay.
Yeah, that's
just a small retcon there. So that brings me back down to 19 damage.
Okay. Still good hit. Gentlemen. Still good hit.
Still a big old hit.
And I'm going to hit him again.
Branding smite.
You need
this
to
time.
You need to roll. roll advantage with this one, or you'll lose it.
Crit again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It rolled 2. Okay, it rolled a 9. No, sorry, a 6 and a 17.
So 26.
What? That's not how advantage
yeah,
works.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 17 plus 9.
Yeah, it is.
17 plus 9 is 26.
Oh, plus,
yeah.
Okay.
It didn't add them together.
I was confused. Yep. I thought it was combining your rolls.
26. Does 26 hit him?
Oh, yeah. 26 hits.
I rolled a 36.
Can you imagine if the 26 didn't hit?
Yeah.
You would be in a lot of trouble.
Jeez.
Okay.
So that is 11 damage.
Great. It is back to being bloodied.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's 30 total damage against him this turn.
Ooh. Nice.
Anything else? Bonus action? Move?
Bonus action? I think I'm just gonna backhand him across the face for shock and grasp.
Very yes. good.
Let me see where that is. It's on my sheet, I promise.
It's in the cantrips.
Yeah, got it. Does a 16 hit?
16 does hit.
Nice.
That's a 2d8.
Mm-hmm.
And then an additional d4.
Oh my gosh.
It's another 16 damage from shocking grasp.
Okay.
This supercharged lightning bolt backhand across his face.
As these like very precise strikes keep hitting him, you can hear Walton in the back yelling like, "Good form, boy." And you do see this like metal arm, like tendrils that seem to be underneath his skin, seem to be like spreading throughout his body. And he seems to, while he's like very damaged and will go down with, you know, another turn and a half of that, he seems to be getting a little last ditch effort juice.
Hmm.
Okay. Glint, I imagine you're not moving?
No. I'll take an off attack if I do, so I'm going to stay here.
Okay. The archer is going to keep climbing. She gets about 25 feet in the air. And from up here, she is going to shoot her bow out at Ridley.
Is she using her toes to hold onto the wall?
Does she have toe grasp?
She sure does.
Oh my gosh.
What? Toe grasp, dude.
Dude, one of the things about cyborg vampires, dude.
They all have Spider-Man powers,
dude.
The toes are wild.
Okay, we get two shot. I'll say one shot here. And that will be a that'll be a 27 to hit, Ridley.
Yes.
Donnie is gonna silvery barbed.
Okay, that's fine.
And he's gonna say, "Don't think I don't see you, Bucky Barnes."
The next one is an. yeah, that's fine because you've gone since your last one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the second roll is a 19 to hit.
No. 19 just hits.
Okay.
That is my armor class.
So that will do 7 damage.
That's doo doo damage for babies.
What an idiot.
The monk guy back here is sprinting away. And so Baby. Is the wizard. They both are fast enough to just completely get out of the tunnel.
Wow.
Sue.
They're gonzo beans, dude.
Gonzo. I think Sue would start with, I think Sue would start approaching the halfling cyborg by Ridley.
Help me.
I don't know. Sue's not like a hard hitter, but will pull out the meat tenderizer and just go for a smack.
Okay. You can roll the hit.
16 plus 5, 21.
Hits.
All right.
That's a great roll.
That is 4 damage. Wow, such baby damage for babies.
You do have your spiritual weapon. You could use your bonus action to move.
Yes,
can
I do.
15 feet.
I do want to move my spiritual weapon to probably the other one that is near Glint is probably the only one it can get close to. Is that that giant black hole on the screen? Is that my spiritual weapon?
Yeah, this little thing that I drew. Okay. Yeah.
It's great.
A rip in reality.
That's what it looks like. And then we will attack with the spiritual weapon.
Okay.
And that is... There it is. Thank you. I found it. That's an 11. 5 plus 6.
As your cleaver... kind of spins towards it. He just catches it with his sword and parries it.
That's all Sue's got.
Okay. Ridley, you're back up.
I'm going to swing my glaive.
Okay. Swing it.
That'll be fine. I'm going to use my inspiration and roll that crit fail again. Yeah. Good. 3 plus 6, a 9.
This vampire catches it on her metallic arm and gives you like a smile, and you can see her fangs.
Okay, I'm going to try and stab her fangs with my trident. 11 plus 6, 17.
17 does not hit. It catches. She has like...
Her fangs.
She has like... She has like a, I don't know what else to call this other than like a popped collar of neck guards.
Cool.
You know what I'm talking about.
She's wearing two polos.
You get it.
A metal polo. And then I'm going to, for my second attack, I'm going to swing my glaive again for a 14.
She pairs that with her sword. This is a great match of two high ACs.
Oof.
Love it.
Donnie, you're up.
I can see the archer at this point now, up onto wall.
Yeah. She's climbed up there. She's 25 feet up.
Donnie is like under his breath after the archer still made a hit after he tried to take away the silvery barbs. He was just kind of like, respect. But then he still got that hand out and he casts heat metal on its eyes.
Yes.
Very, very terrifying. That's great.
Yeah.
What's the save there?
Creature must succeed on a constitution saving throw.
Okay.
But isn't that only to drop their weapon? I don't think they can drop their eyeballs.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that just...
And it's one object, so I'm only heating up one damage of the eyes.
Let me double check here. Heat metal.
Yeah, choose a metal armor. You can see within range. You can cause the object to glow red hot.
It just immediately goes right. Contact. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you use your bonus action to do it again. Okay, great. Yeah, on its eyes, that's great. They immediately... you can see them kind of like glow orange, and then they catch on fire. So you can roll 48 on that one.
Ouch.
Four, whoa. Eh?
Yeah, because
I'll roll two.
She's
going
to take double damage.
Man, that's brutal.
For each eye.
Yeah, that's pretty gnarly.
Booba. A lot. 11.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? Bonus action?
Yeah, bonus action. We're going to give Tenbui a little slap in the rear. Kind of like a good game kind of slap. And have him do a melee attack on our bloodied foe here in front of Glint.
Okay.
Nope. That's an 8.
Okay. Yeah, that won't do it.
That's fine.
Fiddles, we are back up to you before our wizard and guards go.
Yeah. I think Fiddles just sort of in that sprint to get away would just kind of like slide, stop, double back, and give it one more college try. Sword straight to the sternum of the old burning arm boy right behind her. So I think she's going to take a step forward and just ram Vial straight into his chest. Or at least attempt to. That is an 18 plus 6, 24.
Yeah, that hits.
Let's do it. So we are working with 5 piercing damage, 3 genie's wrath, and 15 sneak attack. But that's actually, so that's 23 plus 1 damage. Oh, I forgot the plus 1 to hit. Doesn't matter. Plus 1 damage from the sword being on flame mode, and then 1d6 fire. So we'll go ahead and add 1d6 fire. That's a 6. So that's 20. Wow. No, that's 30 damage total.
Yeah. It is.
It's not. It's 36 damage total.
Right.
That fire damage is doubled.
It is very close to going down. You can see like the arm is kind of glitching, twitching a little bit.
Yikes.
What's the plan?
I'll tell you what. I am also. Let me double check something really quickly. I'm also going to imbue that stab with booming blade.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So just so we're all clear, Sue did 4 damage with her meat tenderizer. and Fiddles did 36.
Sneak attack will get you every time, unfortunately.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and so I think with that rammed sword, she'll kind of draw the sword out and then keep it moving, keep on stepping. And she's going to head, let me check my distances here. Yeah, so she'll dash, and she's trying to get up a little bit closer to that wind wall. So she'll dash kind of along the side wall heading towards that wind wall.
Okay. All right. On the wizard's turn.
Don't like that smile.
No, me neither.
The wizard appears on the other side of the... the side opposite of you guys on the wind wall. And the wizard waves her wand, and you can see magical energy start to form in a similar line to the wind wall, except it's shorter.
Like height-wise?
And length-wise.
Got it.
Let me make sure... I'm going to post this in the chat to make sure I'm reading this right. Ah, oh, frick. I just went to it.
It's like a wind retaining wall.
Maybe I can post it. Here we go. Okay. So this spell is called Wall of Force. And It can appear any orientation you choose, horizontal, vertical, any angle. But it has to be 10 10 by 10 foot panels.
Yes.
So it is going to form kind of like this, 5, 10, 15, like this. Imagine that's a straight line. I don't know why it's doing that. And 10 feet above that, it sort of creates like an overhang. So it's making a right angle. And essentially what it's doing is it's cutting off the party from Glint, Davy, Tin Buoy, and our remaining almost dead guard.
And the overhang is on Sue and Donnie's side? So like, yes. We are covered with a roof so we can't climb over?
Correct. Nothing can physically pass through the wall. It's immune to all damage and can't be dispelled by dispel magic. It also exists on the ethereal plane.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
So if anybody had any weird magic for that, that will not work. This guard, the woman who's on Sue and Ridley's side, is going to start lashing out at Donnie, seeing that someone is using a spell to disrupt attacks. And so we'll get two sword swipes in that direction. And we got a 16 and a 13.
One of them hits.
Okay.
The weaker one.
That will be 21 damage, Dottie.
Sue wants to use Soothe Pain, which I think, because she's in such close proximity, is just her kind of like throwing up her weapon to block part of it. Mm-hmm. So you can reduce that damage by 1d10 plus 3.
Okay.
Do you want me to roll it?
Yes, please.
That's 10 plus 3, 13.
Great, Max. Okay, so that will be reduced to 8. Yeah. Really great use of that.
Thank you, my friend.
This guard is getting really frustrated. And so you can see the arm sort of... you can see like an electric charge run through it. And Donnie, I need you to make a 13 constitution save plus your charisma, right, Ridley?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
That would be a 24.
Great. Okay. Then you are good.
Shout out to the Kellys, y'all.
Our other guard on the side of the force wall with Glint, Davy, Tin Buoy is going to lash out here at Glint, and he has 3 attacks.
Oh, that's I don't want him to, though.
I have a 19, an 18, and a 16.
Woof.
Damn, they all hit.
Oh, no.
Okay. Then we're going to do 19 on the first attack.
Oh, my gosh.
22 on the second attack.
No.
Sun's going down.
And 25 on the third attack.
That is 66 total damage.
That would insta-kill any of us, I think.
My maximum HP is 51. I have 41 currently, so I am big down.
But not instant dead down.
But not instant dead. This guy is on fire. And so after doing all of that damage, he's going to try to shove with his bonus action Tin Buoy. And Donnie, if you'd make a strength save. Actually, I think it's an attack. So, yeah, Tin Buoy gets pushed 10 feet away from him. On the other side of the wall.
Is he going to take fire damage at the end of his turn?
He is going to take fire damage at the end of his turn. On the other side of the wall is Glint, who's knocked out. Davy, under the sanctuary spell, Tin Buoy, and the spiritual weapon of Sue. He continues to take fire damage at the end of his turn, but only takes two. It's a one that gets doubled here. And he is still alive for now. Glint, I need you to make a death saving throw. You have the option to have Davey use his turn and try to attack or move or whatever you'd like to do here.
Okay. Give me one second.
Oh, and the wind wall drops.
Yes.
So he's not technically dead.
No, he's unconscious.
Mm-mm. Until.
Three failures.
Three failures.
He has no will, though, currently.
He unconch.
Yeah.
He unconscious. Oh, man.
And I think this would be Davey acting of his will versus as a command of Glint.
Yep. Problem is, Davey can't do much. Davey could attack this fire boy. If I was myself a robot, Davey could repair me.
Davey also has the ability to use the shocking grasp
too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I need to get a death save for Glint, though.
Yeah.
I'm extremely good at D&D, so I've never had to make these before. How do I do it?
Just a raw D20, right?
Yeah. Flat D20. If you fail, it counts as two. If you pass, it counts as two.
Okay. That's a double fail, huh?
Just one.
If you crit fail, it counts as two. If you
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I love that. Say bye to Glint, everyone.
No.
You have two more. If you get three, you die. So that's where we are right now.
Okay. Davey is going to... Shocking Grasp is a bonus action for Steel Defender as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So first thing Davey's going to do is... I think Davey, on seeing Glint go down, I think is like, we've got to get the guy who did this. So Force Empowered Rend is Davey's attack. A weapon attack plus my spell modifier to hit. The reach is 5 feet, and the hit is 1d8. So weapon attack, my spell modifier is, let's see. I'm just going to roll that like I'm casting Shocking Grasp or something. Spell modifier is plus 8, 15 plus 8, 23. Does that hit this gentleman?
23 does hit.
Okay.
Oh,
Davey's first time attacking.
Does he use the knife?
Yes, absolutely. The little Krentz Goods and Greats
fan,
pocket knife.
First time attacker.
Yeah.
Just wanted to call real quick.
Let me pull up his... okay. The attack, Force Empowered Rend, with the Krentz Goods and Greats pocket knife is a 1d8 plus... what is PB force damage?
It's your proficiency bonus.
In
forces the type.
Okay. One damage plus three, so 4 damage on the burning man.
He's hanging on.
Great. Then Davey, while the knife is in him, is just, you're going to see just like a jolt of electricity go through Davey, like out from his heart, down his arm to the end of the knife, and that's Shocking Grasp on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
As a bonus action, is a 15 hit?
15 does hit.
2d8, 8 damage. Does Glint get any, or does Davey get any extra damage because Glint is in storm form?
It doesn't matter, because you can describe how Davey kills this vampire.
Oh, thank God, dude. I think just somewhat unceremoniously, the vampire, his metal arm just like short circuits and moves like really erratically and jerky, and then he just slumps over dead.
Yeah, and he is. Davey is no longer under the protection of the Sanctuary Spell.
Yeah.
But Davey is safe on the other side of the wall.
Whew.
With the other targets. I think this archer seeing that her eyes are on fire and seeing that the only way to get to the targets they want is over this wall is going to kind of just fall, just take the damage of the fall here, and then is going to use her action to dash away. And
as in like fully retreat?
She fully retreats.
Wow. Okay.
Sue, we are back up to you.
So I know that nothing physical can pass through the barrier, but spells can, correct?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
If it depends what kind of spell. If it's like healing word, I would correct. Say it can. But like an attack or like spiritual weapon, unless it's flying over it, would not be able to.
No, Sue wants to heal Glint. Sue is reaching out with some healing magic.
Great.
Okay, Sue's going to cast Healing Word on Glint at third level. So that is 3d4 plus 3. It's 11 hit points back to Glint.
Okay, Glint is back up. Prone on the ground, but not dead.
Just...
What happened? I think I blacked out. Too many high Cs.
Yeah.
My blood sugar was over 1 million.
And then that was a bonus action. And Sue can't cast another spell. So I think Sue's just going to try and hit the vampire in front of us again.
Okay.
Just continuing to hack away with a little tiny meat tenderizer. Sue's got to get a better weapon. It's a 12 plus 5, 17.
Yeah, 17. Oh, 17 is not going to hit.
Oh, well, then nothing.
Okay. Ridley.
Okay, so Glint is stable. Okay.
Glint is stable. He has health. He's okay.
I mean, I'll just keep hitting this person.
You sound so sad. Don't forget there's also the wizard. So if you've got some range.
I'm at disadvantage on range.
Mm. For the wizard?
Mm-hmm. Since he's within 5 feet of an enemy.
Oh, got it.
Well, actually, I'll take an opportunity attack. I'm going to go and attack the wizard.
Okay. With its sword. Oh, my gosh. That is a 28 to hit.
So, yeah, that'll graze me.
And that will do 21 damage, Ridley.
Oh, my gosh.
21? This was a bad decision.
Can Sue soothe pain on that one, too?
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Sue would like to try and catch their toes as they're turning, like trip them a little bit while they're trying to get Ridley. So that will reduce by 1d10 plus 3. Let's roll that. That's 7 plus 3, so 10 damage reduced.
Yeah, very nice.
Hey.
All right, you're close to the wizard.
Cool. I'm going to hit him with the glaive.
Go for it.
Yay. 25.
Yeah, that hits.
When I do that, I'm going to cast a new smite.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This smite is called Shining Smite. The target, I can put it in the... So it's 4 radiant damage, but they are now shining with light, which means that they will continue to take... They will cast a bright light in a 5-foot radius, and they cannot go invisible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yes.
And
all attacks against it have advantage.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Good.
And then I will...
So that was your bonus action. You have another attack. And you have your damage from the attack.
Oh. Great. There's the glaive damage.
Okay, 9.
And then I'll hit again. 17?
17 hits.
For another 9 slashing damage.
Okay, very good. Donnie, you're up.
Donnie has been rubbing his fingers together towards the end of Ridley's attack, making that little fiddle noise.
Huh?
Not like a fiddle noise, like a fiddle noise. Like a fiddle
what?
Noise.
Yeah, that's the noise.
What?
Points at the wizard. And does a firebolt. I get to roll twice, yeah?
You roll once and then you do 2d10.
Advantage.
Advantage, yeah. So you do roll twice.
Then my first one? 17.
Does spell sniper mean that you don't take disadvantage from somebody being close to you?
I don't know. Let me look.
When you cast a spell, you spell range is doubled. You ignore half cover and three quarters cover. Okay, so you would still have disadvantage, but we'll just use your first roll.
Because it counts? It works.
Because it goes against each other. You have advantage and disadvantage. So 17 hits.
Okay, great. 2d10 fire damage. 17.
All right. That will be doubled. As this yes. wizard is now 30. On fire.
34.
Dang.
Cool. And then as a bonus action, four fiddles. I think the music that Donnie was doing with his fingers together to make Firebolt, he does his fingers again after the successful shot. And it sounds a lot like what our audience would hear, but maybe fiddles wouldn't, but knows deep down in her heart is her... music of doing like the Ocean's 11 heisty kind of stuff, but on a violin version, and she is bardically inspired for her next turn.
Great. Comes at a great time because it's your turn, Fiddles.
Look at that. Remind me what I can do with a bardic inspiration.
You can...
There's a lot of stuff with the motive potential. So you can...
It's been a while.
Motive potential around you. So on an ability check, this inspiration die can be rolled again. So you can choose which roll to use on an ability check, on an attack roll. The target and each creature of your choice that you can see within 5 feet of it must succeed on a constitution saving throw or take thunder damage equal to the number rolled on the bardic inspiration die. And then lastly, it can also be used for a saving throw. So
yeah.
The creature can use the bardic inspiration Great. Die against temporary.
It's a d8.
As far as I can tell, the wizard and this very, very, very strong vampire, neither of them are visibly bloodied.
Correct.
Okay, great. Fiddles is going to take off towards the wizard. And with vial drawn, of course, she's going to make like a horizontal slash right across the torso of this wizard and just say, "I hate wizards." Very angry at this wizard. Not a fan. And I have advantage because of Ridley's smite.
Correct.
So we're going to go ahead and roll that attack roll with Advantagio. That's going to be a 14 plus 6 for a 20. Well, technically 21.
Yeah, that hits.
Beautiful. So we're going to just go ahead and smack a real quick one. That is 4 piercing damage, 3 Genie's Wrath. I'm sorry, 5 piercing damage, 3 Genie's Wrath, 14 sneak attack for a grand total of 22 damage plus 1d6 fire, which will be 2, so make that 4. So that's 25 damage. And then how do I roll this thunder damage?
Bloody, you have to use your bardic inspiration to get it.
What do I do? How do I do that?
You add a d8 to your attack.
I will do that.
So you can roll a d8.
That is a 1, unfortunately. So that's what, 26? 26 damage? Yeah, 26.
Mm-hmm. Easy 26.
Oh, yeah, no, wait. 27 technically, because there's a plus 1 damage somewhere that didn't show up.
Technically, I have to make a constitution save, but I'm going to say it's just not, it'll just take the 1. On the wizard's turn, you can hear her like, "No, no, no, no." Clearly very frustrated here. It does need to make a concentration check, which it succeeds. And then, seeing that it seems to be like out of options, it is going to shove its wand into what you didn't see before, seems to be like a little slot in her torso. And a magical Gross. Barrier just expands beyond her.
Hmm?
It is 10 feet. And this is a Globe of Invulnerability spell.
We've seen this before, right?
Yeah.
You have, yeah.
The Groga used it?
Yeah, I think somebody used it.
Or was it the wizard?
It might have been Ricardo.
Fighting,
Yeah, I think it was Ricardo.
You can't walk through the globe?
You can't. You can't walk through the wall of force. But this globe essentially, it's like a faint glowing. This one has like a gray haze to it. Any spell, fifth level or lower, can't affect the creature within it. The area within is excluded by any spell like that, which means that this smite on it goes down, but it can't focus on this and invisibility at the same time. So feeling like this wizard is out of options, that is really the only thing that she can do if...
The force wall still stays up?
The force wall goes down here.
Oh, okay.
But this vampire clearly feels out of options, threatened. And then she kind of stops with this haze kind of blurring her from everybody except for Ridley and Fiddlesticks. And it's like, listen, I don't want to die today. Let's say we cut a deal. You let me go. I can help you out with something.
I'm sure Riddles and Fiddly are the only, or Fiddly. Ridley and Fiddles are the only people that can hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Them. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
No. Ridley's gonna ask, what does help look like?
You tell me. I can help out with information. I can maybe, I don't know. I don't want to die. You tell me what you need and I can tell you if I can get it for you.
Ridley will side-eye two Fiddles. What do you feel?
How much?
Want to get information and then kill them?
He whispered.
No, I'm asking the player.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
How much sway do you have over the very strong one?
Oh. Electra over there? All of it. She's under me.
We don't know who to side with in this civil war, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, this is the first time you, other than Sue's encounter, that you've really spoken to anybody.
We've only seen death so far from the other side, right?
Right.
That's what you've seen, correct, yeah.
Yeah. Information at this point is very valuable to us. And this other very strong one's not even bloodied, so we've got a good bit of fight ahead of us between finishing off this wizard and taking down this very strong person. It might behoove us to take advantage of this, call a stalemate, and get some information from them. Like, we don't even have a real good direction to go in. But at the same time, I know that Walton has no love lost for vampires, and so I don't want to alienate him by taking them at their word here.
I agree.
So what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, what information do we want? Like, what's the...
I don't even know that we really have a good... I don't know that we even have a good base to form a question at this point.
That's where I feel.
If this fight was after we got whatever information we're headed to go get with Walton right now, maybe we'd have a direction to walk in. But right now it sort of feels like we might just flounder in the dark and then let two very strong vampires walk off scot-free. I'm wavering.
I mean, we can ask for maps, right? We need to find... Walton is interested in finding his daughter.
Right.
So any information they have... Not that they're going to know her location, because that would...
Who happens to be the boss of their enemy faction.
Yeah.
Correct. Right.
They might have an interest in helping us stop her.
Right.
I just don't know if we're siding with the better side here, you know? I have a Warforged that's very dear to me. I don't think that it's an easy trade to say that those that target Warforged are not important.
Yeah. We could ask her to let us walk free with all Oilsworn. Like,
I like this. I like this.
That's not siding with them. That's just, we don't want to be attacked anymore.
I like this. This is great.
In the Oilsworn sector of Gatherhold, is the bar called Take Five?
You need to talk to the Empress, Valvoline.
Climb aboard our ship, the Exxon Valdez.
Toyotathon.
Thank you. I was about to make a Toyotathon joke.
Okay, I really like that. Okay, with...
So we're down to pick a side. I mean, if there's a side to pick...
I don't think we're picking a side here. I think that's what...
You don't have to necessarily...
We're just saying, this side can't hurt us.
Yes. In order... The cost of letting you go is that we're free to move about the tunnels without being hassled by the oil swarm.
I like it. That will help our investigation quite a bit, too, to not have to worry about at least one full side. Okay, I like this. Sword still leveled at the wizard. I think Fiddles and Ridley will, after locking eyes, Fiddles is going to kind of nod. A lot just happened in that look. They've really bonded here. And Fiddles is going to look at this wizard and say, free passage. We want to walk anywhere that's your territory. We don't want to be bothered. In perpetuity.
You're not our target. Okay. Anywhere that is territory of the Oilsworn.
Yeah.
We won't bother you.
Anywhere we encounter Oilsworn, leave us alone.
Okay, but you have to let us go or we can't pass that along to the rest of the Oilsworn.
Can we roll for honesty?
Insight?
Fiddles or Ridley can roll inside here.
Yeah. Not my
strong
suit.
Also maybe a name so that we can like throw a name around.
That is a 9 minus 1 for an 8 from Fiddles. Not our most insightful.
I'm having a terrible dice day.
I think...
I mean, do you want to use your inspiration right now?
Fiddles already used hers.
You're talking to me? I already used it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I used mine earlier.
If you give me inspiration, I'm using it for damage. It's just, let's be honest.
I think here's what both of you understand, that this, what you're asking them, is also works out for them because it guarantees that you have to let them go. Like, you can't make this agreement and then kill them or else you don't get anything out of it. So I think you see a spark of like, that's a great thing for them to ask me. But like beyond that, I don't think you can really guarantee anything.
Sure. Are they wearing anything that marks them as Oilsworn?
I think you've been able to tell that...
metal appendages.
Yeah, that all the Oilsworn have some sort of metal appendage.
Cool, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've got to let you go in order to do that. But I'm relying on your word here, and we have the upper hand. So what can you give me? You guys got a code word? Some secret handshake? Write it down on a piece of paper. What can we take with us so that we won't get hassled?
She pulls her wand out of her torso and hands it to you. And it is it's a metal wand that has a circular engraving on it. It's like,
you hand this to anybody and they'll know it's mine.
Cool. Ridley will pocket it in his pen.
Very good.
And pocket on his shirt. And then he'll like kind of throw his glaive in the ground.
Yeah. Fiddlesticks is going to sheathe her sword and point at the wizard and say, give me your name. I need a name.
May.
May. I have a mind like a steel trap.
Sorry. May you give us your name.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure, I can, but will I?
May, I don't forget a face. I don't forget a name. If you don't keep your word, you're done.
I'll offer one more thing. In exchange for my companion's passage with me. Deal?
Depends.
Information. On a... probably a mutual enemy.
Ridley will nod.
The tunnels? If you want to get to where the frost feathers are, they're somewhere at NBU in the direction you're headed. We've collapsed all the tunnels that connect us. So if you head there, it's open season. I know they have some kind of guards at the front of the tunnels, but I think you guys will probably be able to take care of that.
So he's just in the background. Hey, y'all, are we stopping?
Fiddles, yeah, like a stage curtain pokes her head out of the like dome thing and is like, one second. Her head back into the dome thing.
Yeah, I like to think that the other guard just like has her sword kind of posed in like a defensive position, and her and Sue and Ridley are just like spinning around each other.
Everybody's
like slowly
in a standoff
circling
outside.
Each other. Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Okay. All is learned. Leave you folks alone.
And then slowly tries like backing away.
Yeah, we let her. I let her.
She whistles at the guard to follow her, and they both kind of slowly back off.
Ridley attacks the guard.
I have some unfinished business here. Yeah, and then they both run out the tunnel. And that is the end of this combat.
What a shit show.
There is a dead Oilsworn next to Glint, who I imagine like stood up during this time. Davey is standing over its corpse with a knife.
Dude, MVP goes to Sue for that turn undead earlier. We would have been...
Yeah.
You know,
Bone
Sue had
City
to do something
population
good.
Us.
Otherwise... It was just a little four, so at least I did something good.
The best great. Thing that clerics do are things that like you can't quantify in numbers. Because like you did like 200 points of damage.
Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
In one turn. So like
it feels so not satisfying.
Yeah. I'll just throw a number out there for you.
That's
whenever
helpful.
That happens.
I appreciate
just,
that.
All you got to do, it's the best part. All you got to do is just tell Gage, I'm going to describe a cool way this happens. And then you'll feel so badass. It's great.
I think as Glint stands up, Davey's still standing there with the knife. And Glint is just going to walk over and put his hand on Davey's back between his shoulder blades. And extend a fist for a knuckle bump. And he's going to say, need. That's Davey Knuckles.
Yeah.
Knuckles.
Davey says it back.
Need.
I like to think that maybe Davey's like hips are magnetic because he just like attaches it to his hip.
Like a sheath?
Yeah.
Like it's in a holster, a pocket knife holster.
Walton is going to kind of jog up. Everybody okay? Need any patching up?
Can we take a snack break?
Sue hasn't used aid yet from their ring. And so I think Sue is going to pass out some like granola bars or...
Yeah, can we call this a short rest?
Orange slices?
Yeah, I think Walton's like, I gotta hide out up here, so... we can just head in there. And
yeah,
he has like a hole that clearly used to be a house, but it's abandoned. It's like
a, it's like a blind.
Yeah. It's is we can be safe here. And you can take a short rest.
Hey, good.
Yeah, I think over the short rest as everybody's like healing up and Sue's passing out snacks and stuff. I imagine Ridley and Fiddles, you guys catch everybody up on the negotiation that just happened.
Yep.
Walton will kind of make sure, you know, is everybody good to keep going today to the college?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm set.